Welcome to Guerrilla Radio, recorded April 9th, 2025. Well, Parisians in their thousands came out into the streets over the weekend, not just to bask in the printemps glory of the City of Light, but to raise hue and cry against the bitter state of affairs there. Sunday, followers of the Poles' leading party, Rassemblement National, gathered before the tomb of Napoleon to both rally support for their recently convicted leader, Marine Le Pen, and to, quote, save democracy. They insist the French court's recent verdict finding Le Pen guilty of embezzlement is less justice served than justice serving a political agenda. And as if to underline the point, on the other side of the Seine, National Rally's political opponents came out in force to protest the protest. Diana Johnstone is an American author and journalist who's lived in Paris and followed and written about French and European politics for several decades. Diana has too served as press secretary to the Green Group in the European Parliament, an experience recounted in her latest book, Circle of Darkness, Memoirs of a World Watcher. Some of her many essays on global affairs are also featured at consortiumnews.com. Diana Johnstone in the first half. And Europeans aren't the only ones bemoaning political and economic stagnation. In North America, too, citizens are generally agreed they are suffering, if not a crisis, then certainly a malaise of democracy. Compounding that is the apparent abandonment of foundational mores of Western civilization, witnessed through the aiding and abetting of Israel's genocide in Gaza, and reinforced by American President Donald Trump's expressed desire to abrogate international law and annex Canada, Greenland, Panama, and further parts south. Ian Tidone is an independent scholar and author, publishing at hayslick.substack.com, probing, he says, the tensions between past and future, memory and progress, through the fault lines of philosophy, storytelling, and cultural critique. It's where I found his February article, The Technate of North America, How the New Oligarchy Plans to Rule the Future. Ian Tidone and the Practical Guide to Life in the Coming Technocratic Feudal Order in the second half. But first, Diana Johnstone and rallying against the twilight of France's Fifth Republic. Well, welcome back to the program, Diana.
Well, thank you very much for inviting me.
Well, it's always my great pleasure, of course. Now, Diana, in its English language obituary for Marie Le Pen's father, the founder of the political party whose leadership she assumed, France 24 says, quote, Marine Le Pen transformed the rebranded National Rally, expunging her father's virulent rhetoric while ensuring his core ideas are closer than ever to power. Is that right, Diana, in your view? Is that an accurate assessment of Marine Le Pen's Rassemblement National? Is it still the party of her father, Jean-Marie Le Pen?
Well, no. I mean, she has transformed it quite a lot. And incidentally, this, I'd like to know what they think these core ideas are. They talk about core ideas. I think that these are, what are the core ideas either of Jean-Marie or of Marine? I think the media, including no doubt France 24, have been distorting these ideas ever since the 1980s, when the socialists abandoned their social problem and reinvented themselves as primarily racist, and they needed a villain, and so they grabbed Jean-Marie Le Pen as the bad guy that they could identify against, and that's been going on ever since the 1980s. And the whole world, Western world left, has picked that up as Le Pen is some sort of fascist threat, which is a total invention. It's an invention of the Socialist Party to give itself a new identity. The Socialist Party had to reinvent itself when it sabotaged the common program it had made with the communists to have a lot of socialist things in France. And they chose, instead of their social program, they chose Europe. being part of Europe. And at that point, the villain is the nation. And anything national then becomes bad because we're going to be supranational. From now on, we're supranational. We're multinational. We're going into the world. And the nation becomes the obstacle. And so the very fact that it's named the National Front or the National Rally, that's a bad thing because the nation is no longer your value. In fact, it is bad. And the whole ideology of Europe is that we get rid of wars by getting rid of the nation, which, of course, is obviously not true because they went and bombed Yugoslavia, and now they're in war with Ukraine. It's not banning war at all to get rid of the traditional nation states because they're getting a new European nationalism, which is actually more dangerous than the nationalisms that they're getting rid of. You have to realize that the main thing they have to decide, they had to make out Le Pen to be a horrible villain, and they do. He has to be racist. And since he's not racist, there's no proof of his being racist at all. You decide that being opposed to unrestricted immigration is a sign of racism. But the fact is that there's nothing right-wing or fascist about being opposed to massive immigration, because actually from that, the National Front picked up from the French Communist Party, which had been mainly opposed to unlimited immigration for some of the same reasons mentioned by Le Pen, that the heads of industry like this immigration because it brings in cheap labor and lowers the wages of working people. And that was mentioned by Le Pen. That's an argument of the National Front, the National Rally, which was an argument of the communists, of the left. But that is the theme. That is the theme that it allows the left to identify Le Pen, both father and daughter, as being proto-Nazis because they're against immigration. And there's nothing Nazi about that. The fact is that Jean-Marie Le Pen's rhetoric, virulent rhetoric, I don't know. I haven't heard everything he ever said. I wasn't listening to that. But the remarks for which he's the most famous are not really such virulent rhetoric. He liked to make jokes that pleased his audience or make remarks that are sort of a little bit daring. And the remark that is the most famous and that got him in the most trouble in terms of being fined and punished and everything is when he said in course of a discussion that the gas chambers of Auschwitz were a detail of World War II. Now, I really defy anybody to prove that that is false. That is a false statement. I mean, he turned it around and said, well, if the gas chambers aren't a detail of World War II, does that mean that World War II is a detail of the gas chambers? So this was a kind of ironic humor that he employed. And this is called virulent rhetoric. It earned him the reputation of being an anti-Semite, which he's not. And of course, Marine Le Pen and him have gone way out of their way to express their love of everything Jewish by support of Israel in particular, partly to get rid of that label of being anti-Semitic. But there's no evidence at all. And the European right now is particularly pro-Israel. So this idea that this was some danger of anti-Semitism. So what is fascist? So what is it that is actually his core ideas, as far as Marine Le Pen ensuring his core ideas, actually, she's been somewhat moving away from some of his main points, notably about Europe. because Jean-Marie Le Pen, he was against both Gulf Wars. He was against membership in NATO. He was against subservient to U.S. wars. And Marine Le Pen at first was also against NATO, but she's dropped that because she doesn't want to be criticized for it. And so she's become less nationalist. Also, she was originally for, he was for perhaps leaving the euro, that was the question. And she has become less critical of Europe. So the core ideas, you know, ideas, for one thing, there's ideas and there's policies. The ideas are constantly distorted by the critics who imply that there are terrible ideas behind whatever they're saying without defining exactly what these ideas are. But it's true that Marine Le Pen has become more moderate in her defense of sovereignty of France than her father was.
And even so, left intellectual Yanis Varoufakis, the Greek former member of there, he lumps, in speaking about the alarming populism in European politics, he lumps Le Pen in with Mussolini. He says, well, if you're not careful, you get a Mussolini, a Hitler, an Orban, a Trump, a Le Pen that stands on a soapbox and says, give me absolute power and I'm going to get them. I'm going to make you proud again. This is the rallying call.
I'm really surprised that he says that, because he says other things that aren't quite so silly. Because honestly, when did she get to say, give me absolute power? What the hell is that? She wants to be elected president, just like any other president, by a normal election. What is that absolute power? What's that all about? I mean, that's nonsense. She's not standing up saying, give me national absolute power. She's running for president like anybody else in a perfectly nonviolent legal way. What's so strange about that?
Well, if you've just tuned in, you're listening to Guerrilla Radio. I'm speaking today with Diana Johnstone. Diana is an American author and journalist. She's lived in Paris and followed and written about French and European politics there for several decades. She has too served as press secretary to the Green Group in the European Parliament, an experience that she recounts in her latest book, Circle of Darkness, Memoirs of a World Watcher. Johnston's other titles include Fool's Crusade, Yugoslavia, NATO, and Western Delusion, and From Mad to Madness, Inside Pentagon Nuclear War Planning, co-written with her father, Paul H. Johnstone, and her essays, many of her essays, appear at the global affairs site consortiumnews.com. Diana, the last time we spoke in December, we were talking, you were talking about this court case, the impending judgment of the court against Le Pen. That judgment came down just a little more than a week ago. That bans Le Pen from, at least so far, bans her from running for the presidency. She, according to the latest polls, is a favorite for the 2027 election. It seems to me, there's certain irregularities in the way this judgment was brought down by the court. The first being that it takes immediate effect, that it doesn't allow for the appeal, as is normally the case, of this exclusion from the political process. Why is that, do you think?
Well, the judge made this decision, and I mean, I think it was kind of a surprise to a lot of people, the extreme nature of this judgment, this banning, ruling her immediately ineligible for running for office for 5 years, which takes in the time of the scheduled next presidential election in 2027, where she was clearly the front runner. And I think had a pretty good chance of being elected this time, which for reasons I won't go into, but the polls showed that she was getting showing 35% to 37% of intentions of vote for the first round, because, you know, the French elections are in two rounds. That's quite a considerable lead. So what has happened is the judge has, in fact, ruled the leading political candidate for the presidency ineligible. This is really a political shock. Now, the law is very complicated, and it's, again, it's something that's easy to distort the significance of it, and there are very different points of view about that are expressed. But I would like to say something about, this is a single magistrate, a woman named Bénédicte de Pertuis, who says her life, she's 60 years old. She was inspired at the age of 37 by the career of a certain woman named Eva Joly, who was at that time a member of the French Green Party, who became a member of the European Parliament, who had a career as a prosecutor. And she was inspired by this Green woman to go to the school of the magistrature. In France, you go to study, you pass an exam to become a magistrate. And I would point out that in France, there's an organization called the Syndicat de la Magistrature, a syndicat, which is not it's just an organization which was formed in May 68 by leftists, and which represents a third of the magistrates who mostly have studied in this school. And they have issued statements as a syndicate of judges that they must do everything to fight against the extreme right. So that, it tells you that a very large segment of French judges are not politically unbiased at all. They consider that they are involved in a crusade against the extreme right. And since Madame de Pertuis says she was inspired in her career by this Green Eva Joly, one can imagine that she also considers that she is crusading against the extreme right. And she too probably believes all this thing that Marine Le Pen represents the extreme right, and the extreme right is a threat to everything we hold dear. So she has issued a very extreme judgment with the effect of ending Marine's political career. One of the grounds she gave for taking this extreme measure is that Marine Le Pen denied guilt. The reasoning of her judgment was that since she's denied guilt, she could start all over again. She could raise deceive. You have to make her ineligible because she could continue to do this bad thing that she was doing. But however, the fact is that the bad thing she was doing as a member of the European Parliament, and she's no longer in the European Parliament. So there's no way she could have continued doing that. So that's a contradiction in the logic of the judgment itself. And then you get to the offense, which is described in English as embezzlement, or in French as détournement de fonds. Now, when you hear that, it gives an image of somebody reaching into the treasury and grabbing money for themselves. And that's not what it is at all. There is no personal enrichment in this at all. It's a matter of allocating the funds that were given to the party by the European Parliament to pay for their staff working at the European Parliament. And the party which was first the party of Jean-Marie Le Pen and then her party as she took it over, actually used this money to hire staff, but staff that a large a part of the staff worked essentially for the party rather than for the parliament directly. And that's the offense. It's an offense which I think, I have reason to believe, is quite widespread. But I think that this is not the result. This the lawsuit against her for this and her party is not the result of a wide investigation of how parliamentary funds are used by the party's member of the European Parliament, but a particular examination of her party, because her party, being national, is very unpopular in the leadership of the European Parliament. So this is a way of going after a party that the parliament leaders don't like because it's sovereignist rather than for the expansion of European powers. So I think that the very investigation and prosecution is somewhat politically biased to start with.
And you and I spoke about that, the mechanics of the EU and this, the opacity of the rules and everything in December. And your book, Circle of Darkness, Memoirs of a World Watcher, you talk about your experiences working within the culture and the bureaucracy of the European Parliament. It always strikes me as funny, though, when the extreme right is described, extreme anything, and but at the same time, she's polling as the most popular candidate. So that's not, when I hear the word extreme, I think of fringes. Well, this is, she's clearly not a fringe candidate. Her policies and her platform are accepted by a large swath of French society, enough to make her the favorite in polling, at least for an election. So the idea of fringe is a little bit lost on me. Maybe it just means going against the grain.
Well, I think that's exactly what it means. I think, I think the dominant ideology, and especially Macron represents this, he cares much more about Europe than about France. That's his culture. His career as a banker, and he was sort of picked to be a candidate by bankers who thought he would do what he does, which is promote the strengthening of European institutions over national institutions. That's the leading ideology. And Macron personifies that. And anybody who doesn't, now you've seen this recent judgment in Romania where the leading candidate for president of Romania was a nationalist. And they came up, the courts canceled the election and canceled him with some absolute pretext that he had won because of ads for him on TikTok. I mean, this is just ridiculous. You don't cancel an election and a candidate because they were advertised on TikTok. But they had to find some pretext. And, of course, Romania doesn't have the democratic tradition that France has, so it's a little more subtle and complicated in France, but I think the result is the same. They're canceling the most sovereignist candidate for the elections.
Well, and maybe canceling them in a more permanent way, as we saw with Roberto Fico in Slovakia, who was gunned down last year. Another person that was against the military intervention in Ukraine, or at least Europe's participation, or his own country, in Slovakia's participation in it, and was along this similar line as being standing against NATO and standing against the EU and other issues as well. Diana, I mean, finally, we're fast out of time, but do you see this Le Pen exclusion. It's there is an appeal, and the courts have said, oh, and that judge you mentioned too has had death threats, and that's becoming a story of its own. But the appeal is set to be heard before the deadline for Le Pen's, as I understand it, inclusion in the 2027 election. But do you see this exclusion of her as part of a larger picture, as I allude in in the introduction, of disintegration of democratic practice in throughout Europe?
Well, yes, I do, because I don't think that this judge, I think subjectively this judge is probably thinks she's done something wonderful by getting rid of Marine Le Pen. I mean, because she has believed the propaganda, and a lot of people do believe the propaganda. And there's been all this effect, all this effort to demonize Marine Le Pen, to get rid of the most sovereignist candidate that there is. And I'm afraid, suppose there's the appeal, and suppose her lawyers win this time. Meanwhile, you look on these threads and these comments. Ah, she's an embezzler, she's a thief, a Nazi and a thief. The slander just goes right on, adding that she's now a criminal who's stolen funds, and then the people elaborate on that and pretend that she took money for herself, and that she's never even been accused of that. I'm afraid that this is probably going to permanently put her on this, make her a loser again, and they'll come up with somebody else like Macron, somebody else absolutely bland, a centrist, pro-Europe, pro-NATO, all the things you're supposed to be to show you're a good centrist citizen, and people won't have much of a choice. You see, I think that Marine Le Pen has been very discreet, but I think that she has certain impulses, like not fostering this program to build up Europe, to have war in a few years with Russia. That's what Europe is doing right now under the leadership of this horrible German woman, Ursula von der Leyen, who is going way beyond her responsibility to turn Europe into a war machine against Russia, using money that should be used for development funds to build up military industry and perpetuate the war in Ukraine and build up against Russia and do everything. And I think that Marine Le Pen, however discreet she has been, would oppose that. And I don't know anybody else that I know who has a chance of winning who would oppose that, and she's being eliminated.
Well, there's a saying popular amongst the youngsters, every accusation a confession. And when it comes to von der Leyen, it seems that her misappropriation of funds at the European Union is more typical of the charges Marine Le Pen has been brought low on. Diana, it's always a joy to speak with you. I'm sorry we're out of time. Again, Diana's articles can be found at Consortium News. Thanks a lot, Diana, for coming on again.
Well, thank you, and there's still more that might be said about the fact, as I say, I absolutely know that other groups in the European Parliament did similar things, and they're not being accused. But so this is not a fair judgment, that's all I can say.
Well, and to find out more about that, check out Diana's book, Circle of Darkness, Memoirs of a World Watcher. I want you to stay tuned. I'm going to, after the break, be joined by Ian Tidone and his practical guide to life in the coming technocratic feudal order planned for us all. Thanks again, Diana.
Oh, thank you.
Their message always to everybody through all their advertising, all their PR, everything is, we are your friends. And it's like, no, you are not our friends. Friends are not people whose bottom line is how much profit they can make out of you. It is completely different.
Guerrilla Radio, knowing who our real friends are since 1999.
We're running out of time to put out a fire. Fire.
They're clean. clearing out whole neighborhoods in the occupied West Bank. The streets and pipes are all torn up by bulldozers and tanks. Tens of thousands of refugees have been driven from Jenin. For those old enough to remember, it's a very familiar scene, just like 1948. From